You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Rommel yet?
Sup, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got another breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go over across town to Ryan Callahan's home daycare center. And if we're bringing on Ryan for a breaking news podcast, you probably know what this means, but we'll go ahead and turn it over to Ryan. Ryan, tell the good people why we're having another edition of this podcast, a breaking one.
Yeah, Tennessee has added another player to its 2023 recruiting class, lineman Trevor Duncan from nearby Knoxville Catholic High School.
What?
I knew that was coming. Coming off of multiple visits to Tennessee during spring practice. Not a surprise that he's ending up at Tennessee, but a nice pickup locally nonetheless. He chose Tennessee really over Virginia Tech in the end. Vanderbilt was also sort of in his top three down the stretch. Kentucky was a contender at one point. So his recruitment had not fully taken off, but he did have several Power Five offers, and Tennessee was just really on him as hard as anyone throughout his recruitment. They offered him way back in late July, and he's obviously been on campus, being so close by, has been on campus, I think, five times since then, and just was going to be tough for Tennessee not to win out in the end. But this one was a little bit interesting because his brother, Cody Duncan, is a walk-on tight end at Virginia Tech, and that at least gave him something to consider. You know, I don't think that was likely to win out really at any point, but the new staff at Virginia Tech had recruited him pretty hard, and at least, you know, gave it a good run before, you know, I think the chance to stay home and play for the team he grew up liking just ultimately won out. So nice pickup locally for Tennessee, and we'll talk more about him as a player obviously in just a minute, but I think he's got some real upside that makes this a better pickup than I think a lot of people will probably see it as today based on his rating and offer list and all those things that fans typically look at.
Yeah, and let's just get a couple things out of the way first off. This young man is 6 foot five and a half, 277 pounds. That's what he's listed at. So there's certainly a lot of exciting things athletically about a kid that size. And on film, you can see a lot of potential different things that he could do. We also know that since he went to Knoxville Catholic High School, he's better than everyone else who didn't go there. We know that. History proves that time and time again. Certainly the University of Tennessee now is sort of littered in different sports with prospects from this little, it's becoming like their AAA farm team almost in different sports, just producing prospects for them every year. But in all seriousness, Ryan, this is a kid who athletically, you know, he's listed by most people as an athlete. You know, obviously he'll be playing somewhere on the line of scrimmage. You can tell that by his build, but athletically here you see a guy who, if he's determined to play on the D-line, you know, maybe gets a shot to do that. Looks maybe like he could play offensive line too, and maybe even kind of sort of be better there. There's a lot of different things to say about a kid like this, but athletically, you see options, and as a coach, you probably like that.
Absolutely. I kind of like we talked about with Nathan Robinson, another big-bodied guy that Tennessee added not too long ago, that you just take guys like that, especially in-state, and get as many of them as you can, and you sort of figure it out once you get them on campus. And this is what Tennessee's done at its best. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, obviously, but the Philip Fulmer era was filled with players who were recruited as defensive linemen, ended up on the offensive line, or recruited as linebackers, ended up at defensive end. You know, if you've got big athletic guys, you just, you know, whether they're in the defensive front seven or on the line of scrimmage or wherever, you just sort of take them and figure it out later. There's nothing wrong with that. And Tennessee is at a point in its rebuilding process where they're not necessarily in the shape they want to be in on either line of scrimmage. So I think this one makes sense from either standpoint for Tennessee, no matter where he ends up. You know, he's continued to mention over the past few months, he thinks Tennessee is recruiting him to play on the defensive line. And I think that's probably accurate right now, but I think the long-term position is still very much up in the air. You know, obviously he's talked with Glenn Ellerbe, the offensive line coach, in addition to Rodney Garner, the defensive line coach, knows both of those guys pretty well. I think has enough of a comfort level with both of those guys and the staff as a whole that he wasn't dead set on playing a specific position, but I think he's always seen himself as a defensive lineman. So I think that's at least been in the back of his mind, and Tennessee has sort of left that unsaid, but I think left him with the idea that he is going to at least start off on the defensive line. So we'll see how that shakes out in the long run, but no doubt I think he's got some interesting potential. You know, again, played mostly on the defensive line last year, so he's got decent production, some pretty good film on that side of the ball. But I think when you see his offensive line film, you see the length, obviously the build, the frame. He's just a kind of a tackle type body where it's not hard to envision him having quite a bit of upside on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that if you're looking for where he has the highest upside, I would lean a little bit toward that just because the defensive line, it's all about, you know, quick twitch and all of those things. No question. I think he can play either side of the ball because he's a big, strong kid and could make an impact on either side of the ball. But I just think the offensive line, if you're looking for the highest ceiling, and that's usually what you're looking for, might be where he offers the most potential down the road. We'll see. I think that's going to be a possibly an evolving situation, even once he gets on campus, to kind of see how that goes and where he ends up. But a big athletic guy that gives you multiple options, and that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, there's a few things to sort of break down and discuss there, I think, Ryan. First off is that I think the one thing you said that really stood out to me, because I completely agree with it. Not that I disagree with anything you said, but one thing I definitely agreed with for sure was that you look at the line of scrimmage, and the bottom line is whether this young man ends up being a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman, Tennessee needs both of those things. So no matter which side of the ball he ends up on, Tennessee can use more size, more talent, more skill, more numbers, more options in those positions. So no matter where he ends up, that's a good thing. And then the second thing is that it is sort of human nature to think that, and I think for years the Philip Fulmer era taught us these sorts of things, that if you can be sort of, you know, average athletically one place or you know, maybe a much better athlete at another place, we assume that you're going to end up in the place where you have the more upside, or we think you have the more upside. So, you know, you'd see a guy, the old adage was, if you don't know if he's an O lineman or a D lineman, he's an O lineman. If you don't know whether he's a guard or a tackle, he's a guard. If you don't know whether he's a tight end or a wide receiver, he's a tight end, you know, those sorts of things. And you can keep going down. Like, if you're not sure if he's, you know, a safety or a corner, he's a safety. But there have been stories in the past, and you don't even have to look far, I mean, to think where this thing went the other way, because Daniel Hood also came from Knoxville Catholic High School. And most people thought, I was one of them, assumed he would be an offensive lineman. Even Tennessee's staff at the time assumed he was going to be an offensive lineman. And then they had a need there, defensive line, and he said, listen, I'd rather play there anywhere. Can I get a shot? And several people, even his own teammate Malik Jackson, said, dude, you're not athletic enough to do this. He proved a lot of people wrong. He went to the defensive line. He became a good, solid defensive tackle. Not a world beater, he'd be the first to tell you that. But he became a good, solid SEC defensive lineman. So assuming that he ends up in one place or the other, to me at this point when he's, 17 years old, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think we need to see where this thing goes.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. And yeah, he just still looks like a guy who's developing either way. You know, I think he is such a big-bodied guy and has so much potential that, you know, he finished product, he still could end up getting a little bit taller. I don't know that he's finished growing. And either way, I think he's got a frame that's going to put on more size. So to me, he either ends up a 290-plus pound defensive tackle, or he ends up a nice-sized offensive tackle or possibly guard, but I think more likely tackle if he were to play on the offensive line. And those are all good possibilities. So you mentioned Daniel Hood. That's certainly a good example. I'll give you another one on Tennessee's current roster. Amari Thomas is a guy that a lot of people thought coming out of high school had a higher ceiling on offense, but he made it clear.
I did, certainly.
I think you could still make the case that he does, but he's turned himself into a very good defensive tackle, at least certainly starting to show signs of developing into that going into this year. Made some plays last year and made it clear coming out of high school he wanted to play on the defensive line, so that's where he started off, and now he's played there under two different staffs. So, Lanith Whitehead, you know, everyone thought he was a linebacker coming out of high school. made it very clear, and it did in some recent interviews, that he wanted to play running back. Still does. And so he's still there.
And
so,
I still think he'd be a better linebacker, but he's good enough at running back.
Yeah. So especially when a player has at least a stated preference, you certainly can't rule out that a position change like that is not going to happen. So even though some people might look at Trevor Duncan right now and think, yeah, I know multiple schools recruiting him do see him as more of an offensive lineman, I don't think you can assume anything, because you just never know how that's going to play out, as we've seen with those cases and others that we mentioned. So it is an interesting discussion, but again, you take big bodies like this and you sort of just get them on campus, let them develop. He's not a guy that probably projects as a day one starter, at least not right offhand, no matter which side of the ball he's on. So you get him on campus, you put him through practices, and you see how he develops. And maybe he surprises you. Maybe he ends up being more of an impact defensive lineman than we're expecting. But either way, I think he is a really fascinating player that, to be honest, I think you could make the case, and Tennessee's already got some nice players on the line of scrimmage in this class. I think you could argue Trevor Duncan's got as high of a ceiling as any of them that Tennessee's added so far. You know, Aiden Bussell, a nice pickup in state on the offensive line, but Trevor Duncan's high on Tennessee's board and has been for a while. And I think that this is one that fans should be pretty excited about. This, I think this is the guy that Tennessee sees as having quite a bit of potential relative to his offer list and sort of his profile as a prospect so far.
Yeah. We've said this time and time again, we've said this for years. We'll continue saying this for years. Where we rank players is important, certainly to us, or we wouldn't do it. You know, we got smart guys who do this stuff. But what matters more than anything is each particular coaching staff, each particular head coach, each particular position coach at each particular school, what they think of a player is what matters the most, because they are the ones that are going to take those players and try to go mold them into guys that help them win games and compete for championships. So that matters more than anything.
And just to add to that, though, we do have him, I would say, pretty highly rated at 24/7 Sports right now for a guy who wasn't a Mr. Football winner as a junior or anything like that. He's already a high three-star prospect in 24/7 Sports rankings, the number 16 player in the state of Tennessee, listed as an athlete right now because of that two-way potential. But we'll see what our analysts do with that in the coming months. Regardless, that is a pretty respectable rating, I would say, for a guy who, again, is not all that highly regarded in terms of offers, doesn't have 20 plus offers right now. So to see him with that kind of rating, I think shows that our analysts have quite a bit of respect for his game. And I think that's kind of a reflection of what Tennessee sees in him. So even though he's not a top 10 player in the state right now, I think that's a pretty good rating for him to have already. And now still you've got senior film where I would not be surprised if his stock continues to rise in the coming months and he gets more offers to kind of back up what Tennessee has already seen in him.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this to just to build hype or anything, but it's not uncommon. And I think our 24/7 Sports, we've been pretty good about this. If a guy really emerges as a senior and just all of a sudden starts looking like an elite player or prospect instead of what he had been before, our ratings will reflect that. You know, I think that I credit our guys for that time and time again. They are not afraid to go, wow, this guy was a two-star not long ago or whatever, but we think he's a four-star now. I mean, our guys will do that because they understand kids develop at different ages. That's just sort of how it goes. You know, some guys physically when they're 16 and 17 and then they turn 18, they're just different guys. So that's true of every athlete in every sport. You never know. Plenty more to discuss about this young man, Tennessee adding a commitment from Trevor Duncan of the Knoxville Catholic High School. Lots and lots more to discuss about him, about what this means for Tennessee's recruiting on the line of scrimmage on both sides, what this means for Tennessee recruiting locally and in-state. Lots more to dig into. But before we do that, we got to step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to products, ad services, all that other kind of fun stuff. And we will be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by Whatever Products, Services, and In-House Strategy. You just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there at his home daycare center, talking about the newest addition to Tennessee's 2023 recruiting class, Trevor Duncan from the Knoxville Catholic High School, 6'5.5", 277-pound lineman who potentially could play defense. He prefers that right now, or he could be an offensive lineman. Regardless, a lineman, an athlete, a jumbo athlete that Tennessee, Josh Heupel and his staff are happy to add to this class. Lots more to discuss about him and other things. Before we do that, though, guys, just a quick PSA here. If you could take about a minute out of your day right now, please, and we say this every episode because this is how important it is, please go in there, rate and review and subscribe to this podcast. If you're just listening on the website, we love you. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. No wrong way to consume this podcast. But what helps us out more than anything is if you go in there and Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world, you can cast a fine pod. You can find this very Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free and we are happy to do it. The one thing we ask for, one set of things that we ask for, is go ahead and tell your friends. That's always good, old-fashioned stuff. That works. Also, rate and review and subscribe. If you're already doing that, thank you. We love you. If not, go yourself. That's the rule. Sticking to it. No one has told me to stop doing that. And until they do so, we're going to continue doing that. Also, please subscribe to GoVols247.com, which is, as I'll tell you later and remind you later, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get everything on Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, baseball, Lady Vols coverage, tons and tons more at GoVols247.com. Ryan, I mentioned this in you know, every time Tennessee adds a player from my alma mater, I joke that it's the best place in the world and that it's, you know, everyone who goes there is better than every other person because it's just fun to say such jokey things. In all seriousness, though, I want to ask you about this. Tennessee has added not just this young man, but prospects from the past several years, especially in, you know, football, basketball, women's sports. There's like a nice little pipeline flowing there. And for whatever reason, there seem to be a lot of Division I prospects lately that are coming from that school, and it's never a bad thing to go in there and have some sort of a pipeline built in, because you're not going to get everybody. Obviously, Harrison Smith went to Notre Dame. Amari Rogers, for reasons that we understand, went to Clemson. There are a lot. You're not going to get everybody that you want. But it seems like they have a pretty high batting average at this school right now, and it seems like this school is producing more and more Division I prospects. How good is it for Tennessee to have that sort of a pipeline or that sort of an advantage built in at a place like that?
Yeah, I think that is a good thing, and you don't have to look any further than Tennessee's current roster for an example of why. Tyler Barron, a guy who only spent 1 year at Knoxville Catholic, but still had that connection there, played for 1 year with Trevor Duncan, at least gives him a familiar face over there, along with Cooper Mays, that obviously played his entire high school career at Knoxville Catholic. So those are certainly two guys that Trevor Duncan is very familiar with, and will have those familiar faces on campus when he joins the roster next year. It helps to keep that pipeline going. Certainly there will be more players there.
And even BJ Edwards, the top 50 basketball prospect who there, who's a friend of his, so that's big too.
No question. And there will be more prospects. There are prospects at Knoxville Catholic every year. They've done a pretty good job of being very aggressive in trying to upgrade the talent always to try to keep up as they've faced tougher competition at the Division II level and are doing their best to try to keep up with some of the top programs in the state that they face all the time. And they've clearly done a good job of continuing to add some good players. Some from outside the area like Tyler Barron, and some from here locally that they've really, I think, done a nice job there. So yeah, I think that's a good school to have a foothold in like that, and not surprising at all to see Tennessee signing players from Knoxville Catholic on a pretty regular basis. There are certainly other Division I prospects on their roster right now, and there will be plenty more there in the future.
Ryan, in terms of what this means locally and in state, this sort of dovetails with what we were just talking about. It sort of expands it. We're never going to not mention the importance of getting, in-state guys, especially local guys. And this is not what you would say is just an oh my God year in the state of Tennessee, like there's been a couple recently. But this is a good solid year in state, as most of them are becoming now. And with the full year now that under his belt, it seems like Heupel and his staff, they've done a much better job, as you would expect, given the time to do so. They've gone out and they've made more connections. They've got more of these coaches kind of in their corner or listening to them. They're getting more players from the state. It just seems like they're doing a nice job of sort of putting foundation pieces in there.
They are. And yeah, this was a class that, like you said, was, from the start, it kind of looked like a class that doesn't have quite as many, high ceiling elite prospects right now, but it has still a good number, and this is where the depth and consistency of the state of Tennessee is starting to show up, that even in kind of a down year relatively speaking, there's still these guys like Trevor Duncan and like Nathan Robinson and like Nate Spillman across the state that Tennessee wants to add to its roster. So not surprising to see Tennessee doing better than it did last year when, for a number of reasons, they only signed two in-state players in the 2022 class. We've certainly discussed quite a bit why that happened the way it did, the dead period last year, coaching change, all that stuff, lack of momentum around the program, level of competition they faced for guys like Walter Nolan and Ty Simpson. There was a lot that went into all that, including evaluations having to happen last year. This year, they're caught up on all of that. The relationships are in place. Their evaluations are much more solidified because this staff has been on Tennessee's campus for more than a year. Just the way they've recruited them from the start has been so different. They're not scrambling to get a feel for which ones they want, which ones they have the best shot at, and trying to piece it all together throughout the year. These are guys, including Trevor Duncan, that they've been recruiting for several months, and you're seeing them have success in part based on all those things and in part based on the fact that the programs seem to be on the rise. So just to have a handful of in-state commitments this early in the year, I think shows you the difference night and day to me between the way last year's class went in-state and the way this year's class is shaping up. And what's even not a terrific year by Tennessee's recent standards, but still a solid class where it looks like they are now in position to sign several in-state players, a noticeable upgrade from last year. And I think a big, big deal because as I've always said over the past 7-8 years, and this is, it's no coincidence that when Tennessee started to get more competitive under Butch Jones and won those 9 games in back-to-back seasons, it was largely based on an in-state foundation. Derek Barnett, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Jalen Hurd, Josh Malone. And to me, if Tennessee is going to get back to that point, you know, you can land the occasional five-star in other states, as they've already done with Nico Iamaliava and players like that. You can do that, but the foundation of this roster needs to start with in-state players. And this is a big step toward doing that. You're not always going to sign a, you know, 10 or 12 players in-state, but you've got to get the ones that can help you. And we're already seeing Tennessee doing a much better job of that in the 2023 class.
Yeah, it's like Josh Heupel says, in relation to other things, it's kind of like a snowball rolling downhill. If you want to build, you know, you're never going to make it a fortress, but if you start building a foundation where a lot of the kids in your locker room and some of your most important players and your foundation guys, if they're in-state guys, you just sort of start a culture where guys in the state want to continue that tradition. A lot of them, they want to go play for the state university. They want to go in that culture where they feel like they're already sort of, they'll know a lot of people and they'll get along with guys and they'll understand each other. It's just really important in a lot of ways. Like, you could bring in, you know, 50 guys from any, you know, or 25 guys from wherever you want to in a year, and you could have success. But if you want to build something and sustain it, it just really helps to start it from within your own borders. Ryan,
One thing to add to that, just really quickly, Tennessee on, you know, the NIL stuff gets discussed a lot in recruiting, and understandably so. That's the name, image, and likeness discussions and deals are such a growing, evolving, fast changing part of the recruiting process. I think one of the things that's going to help Tennessee continue to have in-state success is you're going to be able to sell to these in-state players that they can maximize that much more at Tennessee than they can at another school. It's a much bigger deal to say Elijah Herring to be from Murfreesboro and playing at Tennessee than it is for him to go to an out-of-state school where he's just another out-of-state player. So all of those things, I think, are going to continue to make Tennessee a much bigger player with in-state recruits. And I think I'm not saying that's a reason for their success so far, but it's another reason I think they can sustain what they're building in state. So it's a very good start to have what they already have in this class in 2023. But I think it's something they can continue to do. I think Josh Heupel's staff is on the right track and doing a good job on the relationship side. And I think the NIL stuff only strengthens Tennessee's case for keeping a lot of players in the state of Tennessee.
Ryan, last thing I got before we get out of here, if you want to talk about what's like an ideal recruiting situation or what you would do if you could do it, I mean, you would just do basically what Alabama does, right? You would go in there, let's call it what it is. You would go in there and get some of the very best players at each position from every state across the country and build your roster with those kinds of guys. And there's almost no question you'll be elite every single year. However, most people have to live in the regular world, and Tennessee for now still has to live in that regular world. And I think one thing that really helps you when you're in a situation like that is getting some guys who have a lot of versatility to them, because that gives you, I think, more options in terms of how you finish a class. Like, you don't want to take a whole class full of guys where you're not sure what position they're going to play. You want to take some guys that you're like, I know that's a quarterback, you know, I know that's an edge guy, I know that's a corner, I know that's a big time safety, I know this is a big time kicker, all those things. You want to do that. But having at least a few guys in every class who you could say, he could play on either side of the ball, he could do this, he could do that, I would think, just from a common sense perspective, that helps you a lot with numbers when you're looking at finishing a class and the options that you have. Am I crazy there? Feel free to tell me if I am.
Yeah, no, not crazy at all. And I think, well, not for that reason anyway, but I will say it's not as big of an emphasis under this staff, I feel like, as it was in the Jeremy Pruitt era. That staff really liked to take versatile players that could play two or three different spots and saying, hey, we'll try them out. We'll move them around even during spring practice or fall camp and see where they fit. I don't know if this staff's going to experiment quite as much as the former staff did, but I think it is a plus, and especially when you're putting together a recruiting class. And I'll give you another reason it's good to have that. The NCAA, of course, never the fastest moving governing body in sports.
Correct.
has yet to really decide how it's going to deal with the transfer portal in regard to signing class numbers. We know that for the 2022 cycle, they had the sort of temporary one-year fix of, hey, we'll give teams an additional seven spots at most if they lose seven players via the transfer portal after the fall semester. So for every player Tennessee has lost via the transfer portal, they theoretically have another spot to fill with another high school player, a transfer, whatever. But that was sort of their idea to keep the transfer portal from taking away a team's ability to sign high school players. Well, we don't know yet what the situation is going to be for the 2023 class. We don't know if they're going to go with that same solution and extend it by a year, make that a permanent solution, or come up with something entirely different. So in the meantime, Tennessee doesn't know for sure if it can sign 25 high school players without compromising its ability to be a player in the transfer portal next year. So in the meantime, you've got to figure out how many you want to take without knowing what your final number really might end up being realistically. So for that reason, in that situation, it's great to have versatile players like a Trevor Duncan, like even a Nathan Robinson to a degree that you know can fit into a couple different spots, because you might have to sort of fudge the numbers a little bit one way or the other to meet all of your needs the best you can. So yeah, I think that is a plus, and especially in a year where there's some uncertainty there. Yeah, nice to know that you have options with a guy like Trevor Duncan that's a big body that can play on either line of scrimmage.
You got anything else, Ryan? I really like the point that you made there, and I don't really want to counter or expand on that, because I don't think I could say it better than you did. So you got anything else before we step out of here?
I think that's a good place to leave it for the most part. As definitely want to emphasize that the ranking is pretty solid already, but I think this is definitely one for Tennessee fans to be excited about. I've spoken with some people that really see some pretty high potential. I've heard some, I don't want to throw too much out there specifically about some of the comparisons I've heard from Trevor Duncan, but let's just say I know there are some people in Tennessee's program that feel there's some, there's NFL potential here. You know, if Trevor Duncan reaches his ceiling that they see in him right now, that I think this could end up being a very nice pickup, one that we look back on and say was kind of a steal for Tennessee at the time, considering the number of teams they really have fought for him over the past 6 months.
There you go. I will let the always optimistic Ryan Callahan take us out with that note. Ryan, you get to be the good cop for now, so I'm not gonna step in your way there. I'm gonna let you have that one.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Wes.
And there's the button, and now I can say, guys, thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. As always, we always say it, but we always mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter, and Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news in your feed, nothing else, get that at twitter.com/govols247. You can also go to facebook.com/govols247, and you can get tons of stuff there throughout the day, all day, every day. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the tap, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internet to get coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, baseball, tons of stuff going on there these days, obviously. Lady Vols coverage, where Maria Cornelius does an excellent job all year covering all things Lady Vols for us all the time. We got two forums that run around the clock 24/7, as the name suggests. We got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with Tennessee fans across the world, pretty much every freaking time zone that exists. We've got somebody there. We got people up at different hours of the day. We got all kinds, any time of day, anytime you go there, you're going to find a bunch of people on there talking Tennessee athletics, talking SEC stuff, talking pro sports, talking life, advice with kids, what to get spouses for anniversaries, lawn maintenance. You never know what people are going to be talking about on there. And it'll be anything that's not political or religious in nature. Anything else right there on the board for you to discuss. And you can get all that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month after a 7-day free trial. That is all that it costs. And after you pay or get that seven-day free trial, after that, you get us that low rate. That's one mediocre lunch per month. But you don't just get GoVols 24/7 with that. You get access to Paramount Plus with that. for free in perpetuity. You also get access to a growing behemoth of a streaming platform that has every show CBS has ever done commercial-free, tons of exclusive stuff that you can only find, like, you know, 1883, Picard, Evil, Star Trek, all kinds of stuff that you can only find on Paramount+. You got new movies. You got classic movies, old blockbuster franchises, you know, comedies, dramas, horror, everything, stuff for the kids, all of it, and stuff from the archives of CBS, obviously, and MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, all of it, right there, something for the entire family, and live sports, SEC sports, NFL sports. You got UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, Serie A, French soccer, PGA Tour. You get everything on there. And you get all of that and our site, all of it, for just about $100 and change a year. One of the best deals you can possibly find. And if you don't do it, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go do that. Don't be a fool. Go do that. If nothing else, guys, you should hear from us in a few days. So until then, try to be good to each other. Try to have basic human empathy for people out there in the world. There's not enough of that these days. There's too many a-holes. We don't need that. Be good. See ya.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.